Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how well do you share your world with animals? Do you include them? Do you honor them? Do you love them? Do they love you? There's a lot to know about our world that we live in that we're just finding out about the animal kingdom, even though we thought we might have known a lot. So much more we're understanding. And to help us understand it even more is a book that I just read called Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. Sounds really exciting. I love the book. I'm really much more excited about sharing my world with animals. And to help us enjoy it more is the author of the book, who's a guest on our show, Linda Bender. Linda, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you could join us and talk about animal wisdom. It's obviously, it's a big part of your life.
Yes, yeah, the main theme, as I would say.
Yes, exactly. But this isn't only about dogs and cats, even though there's so much that we don't understand about dogs and cats, about their world. A lot of people wonder about their world. You know, we look at them. I'm not a pet owner myself, but I'm always fascinated by the world that I believe they live in. And and I'm an observer and am fascinated that they think different than we do. And sometimes the same.
Exactly.
It depends on what it is. And then that's just, you know, dogs and cats, and then there's all kinds of other pets, and then there are wild animals, and we're learning so much from them. It's fascinating. Now, what's your background with animals professionally?
Well, I have three main loves in life, and I attribute much of it to the animals. But ever since I was a young girl, I was connected to animals out in you know, the neighborhood where I grew up in New Jersey. And my love for animals and compassion for them ran very deep, very, very early. And I tell some of the stories in the book when I was, you know, 5, 6 years old. And that naturally led me to become a veterinarian, get a degree in veterinary medicine. So because of the animals, I developed a keen interest in what this world is all about, because I was invited into their world as a young child when I didn't doubt. And so that really spurred my interest in spirituality, in the oneness of all, my love with animals. And also, I have had a lifelong love of travel. So I worked overseas in Asia and Africa for many years, working often in the rescuing animals in the wildlife trafficking trade. So my experience runs both with, you know, our companion friends, as well as a deep understanding and connection to animals in the wild in Africa and Asia.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So it's a very broad scope. And
it is.
And you bring that into the book in really helpful ways to understand what their world is more like, and and actually to help us see how limited we've been in our world in relationship to animals.
In our in this particular culture, because, you know, I've spent time in Australia and in Africa with the indigenous people, and it's fascinating how, you know, we have lost what they have not. And really, you know, earlier on in the conversation, you said you're not an owner of companion animals, but you're an observer. And what I find with people is that there are really three basic ways to connect with animals. And one is as an observer. You know, you can observe other people's pets, you can observe in the wild, and then you can have a closer bond with animals, say bringing dogs and cats into your home. And then that third level is part spirit-based, which is where we carry that relationship deeper. And that those are many of the things that I bring up in my book, both with companion animals and with wildlife.
Right. Well, I'm very fascinated about what each of the different species have to offer. There's so much. There's so many gifts of every animal has a different gift amazing ways. And I love to work with power animals in my spiritual practice and identify them and identify the strengths that they bring. I even went on a shamanic journey looking for a power animal, and I was passing all these animals that I said, oh, that would be a great power animal. Oh, no, this one. No, oh, no, that one. How come I'm not stopping? You know, because it was spirit that was driving the journey. And all of a sudden, it's like an arm reached out and grabbed me and said, I'm it. And I turned and faced an owl.
And see that? And you let go of your mind. Yeah, you let, because your mind was busy, busy thinking. And then when you let go is when, you know, we become metaphysically irresistible, and the animals can then come forward as need be.
Well, I knew it was going to be magical.
Wonderful.
Something was, you know, that's why I was seeing all these animals that I thought were great power animals for me, and nothing magical was happening. So I said, okay, I guess I keep moving on, and didn't know how magic would appear. And it did.
And isn't that the best way? And you were surprised by the gift. And then what happened with the owl?
Well, then I learned how much I can identify with the strengths of the owl. And it really is true. I am a practicing intuitive and very cerebral. And and so it fits me to a T. So that worked. And there have been other power animals that I've worked with. I was in the tropics not long ago, and I was a little worried about sunburn, so I decided to become a lizard.
There you go.
And dress myself in lizard skin, you know, to allow the lizard of me to be, you know, my skin. And
fascinating, yeah.
That was exciting, yes. So, they, you know, then again, let's just say that we want to have better memory. What would be a good power animal for us?
Better memory. Well, you know, I often say to people, don't get stuck in assigning one animal, because I believe that depending, you know, life is episodic, and what we go through, it's a journey, it's a path, and at different times in our lives, we can receive from different animals. And I think that there is no one specific animal for one trait. Obviously, you know, elephants, of course, love and memory. You know, elephants are the great, an elephant never forgets. When I think of memory, I think of elephants.
And you have a great story in the book about that.
But it's always a circuitous route, because what elephants never forget is love. And I have some wonderful stories in the book about that very thing. So animals have this capacity, and I have Linda-isms, and I say there's a species-specific genius. You know, every species has its own culture, its own genius to offer us. But it often comes in strange and mysterious ways to us. So I would, of course, say elephant, but so many others, and for example, wisdom and the wisdom of the ages. Think of turtles. You know, we humans have been around for, you know, 200,000 years roaming the planet, but turtles for 200 million years. And they carry the ancient wisdom.
Yeah, they have stories to tell.
They are astonishing with the stories they have. So depending on what's going on in your own life, I try to teach people to just let go and allow. And the wisdom that you are seeking, or the intelligent advice or whatever it is you're seeking, allow it to be received by who steps forward to offer.
Well, also, what I'd like to look at with you is your understanding of the gift of our companion animals, because they actually don't, as much as they can empathize with us and feel with us, and they have their feelings, and many feelings are the same, they don't have to think the way we think.
Right.
They're not
right. They're not
up.
Miserable like we are.
Yeah, right. They're here to offer love and to provide sanctity, actually, because
yes.
They don't process their minds the way we process ours. We
exactly.
try to figure everything out and worry about everything that could be or would be. And
yes,
animals are...
All our deficiencies,
yeah.
you know,
right.
all our brokenness. Mm. Yes. And you know, dogs are... I call them the great bodhisattvas of love because they love us just as we are, and they're that constant reminder, you know, that we're okay, that we can show up in all our brokenness, and we are the, you know, incarnation of perfection to them. And they are very joyous and happy in who they are, you know, and it's a wonderful
Because they don't think
reminder.
About what's wrong. They might feel...
They think they're gorgeous. They know they're gorgeous.
Right, but they might have sorrow and fear even because some...
Totally.
Some people are abusive
yes.
to them. And
absolutely. So we share, you know, the same Rolodex of emotions with most animals, you know, dogs, cats, and in the wild as well. You know, we all have common emotions, but we process them differently, and we mustn't assign our own likenesses to animals, and because they're all unique and they're all different, and they suffer as we do, but they. Unlike us, they're more trusting. They exist in a world that's closer to source, and they trust, even though things don't go well in their lives often. Horrible things happen. We look at wildlife. But they still trust because they know and trust that source provides as well as, you know, gets us through life and allows them to live more comfortably in mystery and all the things that happen.
They can allow in ways that our minds don't let us allow.
Exactly.
Because often, for instance, we live in sacrifice a lot. We live in, if I could only, how come they have and I don't have, I shouldn't be doing this,
yes.
I should be doing that. And all these what ifs and could be's that we live in all the time. It's amazing. You know, if it's a rainy day, oh, wish the sun was out, you know, all kinds of things. And animals, they just
right.
deal with it.
They do. They do. And they allow and they accept and live in a more joyous, what I call, again, another Lindaism, is the joy of aliveness. You know, a bird singing in the tree. When we take a moment and we are seduced into that song with the bird, you can just... become present with that joy of simply being alive that they express through that song, and it's so wonderful and magical.
It's
and
easy
pulls
to
us
make,
in if we allow it.
It's easy to make animals happy.
Yes,
you give them what
yes.
they want, and they are so happy.
Joyous, yes, yes,
yes,
uh huh.
And we can't always do that.
Yes, we're a little slow. You know, we tend to. Well, but one thing you must remember, though, is we have our own species-specific genius, and yes, we do that, and we have these horrible monkey minds, and we can just destroy ourselves, as we are actually doing so effectively. But we have our species-specific genius is that we have a tremendous capacity for compassion and love, and we also have the ability to see these problems, see issues that are wrong, and then come up with creative solutions and implement them in the world, which makes us wonderful. But we also have a capacity for tremendous destruction, and therefore we bring in choice. We all have choice of how we express our genius.
So we can actually let go of a lot of our own struggles by understanding
yeah.
how animals can be more in their experience directly without their minds having
to play
with it.
Animals are trying now, particularly in the wild, and I find this is so true in Africa when I go there, that animals are really trying to, you know, they can no longer live in blissful ignorance of us. There's too many of us, and we're destroying their habitats and making their lives miserable. But they also see that we're making our own lives miserable. And so they're trying to get us to awaken, to rethink our relationship to animals and to nature, because it really is the most important question that we need to have today as humans. It's the most important thing to talk about.
Well, it's an opportunity that we have to hear from them and to help them understand that they can be happy and we can't because we can find too many things to be unhappy about.
Yes.
And so they're trying to help us, and you do talk a lot about, for instance, what our companion animals are trying to do for us.
Yes.
And they feel
yes, you know. They're a tremendous treasure to us, our companion animals, because everywhere I go, and I've been on a 6-month book tour, and every day people come up to me, and they're very frustrated. What can I do? How can I help? Et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people are, as you're saying, they're shutting down, they're upset, they're brokenhearted. And animals are trying to say, come on, you are helping. What you do makes a huge difference, as you open your heart and serve. This is, all we can do. And we each make a huge difference in our way when we simply step forward and honor those gifts. And animals help us awaken to our gifts by awakening our hearts.
Recently, my wife was at a ranch, a horse ranch, and they have this method where it's just an opportunity for people to go into an enclosed area where there's a horse and just sit and allow the horse to start to relate to them. And when the horse comes over and wants to connect and actually is sensing different things in us, and it's beautiful to see that that they care and they want to commune, and it's something that I'm excited about. I unfortunately, as a child, I had misfortune with animals. As an infant, I was attacked by a ferocious dog.
Oh my!
And so I didn't get over that easily. And then when I was in grade school, I was also attacked by a dog. And then when I was young, I was trying to learn horseback riding, but a horse kicked me pretty badly. So it was like, animals are dangerous. I have to stay away from them. And I missed the opportunity of but whatever it was, for some reason, my soul needed those experiences, and so I'm coming at it late, and maybe that's even an extra appreciation for what I've missed.
It's very, very interesting. It's fascinating what you're saying. So what happened to you as an infant registered so deeply, and that your later encounters with animals sent out fear, and which is something that you absolutely can work on, and it sounds as though you are. And when people send out fear, even though they're not even conscious of it, that they're sending fear, animals react.
Yes.
So what you're sending out in your own frequency, we're all energy and information. And so the animal then reacts, responds in kind. There's fear here. I need to protect myself. It's a fascinating, fascinating topic. It's wonderful, actually, that you brought it up, because a lot of people do have this issue,
Yeah.
They say, why do animals respond this way to me? And then when they say, yes, I've had issues in the past, this is why. This is what what happens. Well, just quickly, there have been studies done, but we know for a fact that when the Native Americans encounter poisonous snakes out west, there was a very different response from the snake when they would encounter each other. You know, in day-to-day walking or along the way, the Native American would, "Oh, hello, snake," you know, and the snake would say, "Hello, I'm not going to bother you," and they'd go on their way. There wasn't a fear initiation. But when the settlers, the first settlers came, they responded to snakes in fear, and the snakes responded again in fear. And so those people would get bitten by snakes, you know, very frequently, because it sets up that fear response on both sides.
Right.
Fascinating.
And so we need to get wiser so we don't project
fear. You've got your homework.
Well, yeah. I'm better. I'm much better. I enjoy being around pets, and it's not like when I was a kid, I'd visit friends and their animals wouldn't treat me well and they'd have to put them in the basement or something.
Right.
And I didn't understand it. What's going on with me?
It's very common, and it's also common in people who've never had the experiences that you've had, the traumatic, but they pick it up from other people.
Uh-huh.
Quick example, I went into the post office the other day, and I have a puppy, and I carried the puppy in with me, and this man came over, and he said, "Oh, no, we can't have puppies in here, no dogs in here." I said, "I'm just holding her, she's a puppy, buying some stamps," and he said, no, and I could see the fear. They can bite, and I thought, wow, you know, the communal, you know, the group mindset here is animals will bite. And
that's why we need your book.
I know, and I said to the man, of course, I had to leave, you know, I come back, and I said, you know, in all reality, I'm probably more likely to get, shot by some human wielding a gun than my dog is to bite. My dog is very sweet. But this is the cultural norm, the mass consciousness.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important now to start recognizing the wisdom that animals hold and the love that they come from.
And, exactly.
I'm, as I said, I'm a practicing intuitive, and had a call one morning from a woman who I didn't know, and she said, "Do you work with dogs?" And I said, "No, not really, but, you know, what do you need?" And she said, "Oh, my dog broke his leg." I said, "Oh, you mean the front right one?" And she said, "Yes, that's right."
And
she said, "I guess you can read my dog." I said, "Well, we'll see." She said, "Well, I'll bring him over." And she and her husband came over, and the dog had a cast on, and so I'm sitting with them, and the dog starts giving me information about that he broke his leg because he wanted to keep this couple together, and it needed that. He felt that if he broke his leg, that they would together want to nurse him and take care of him, and that he would keep the couple together. And and I told them that, and they said, "Oh, that's too bad. We just signed our separation papers this morning."
Oh my. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was that I was so fascinated that the dog would go to that level to to keep the couple together. But it didn't work, and I felt bad for the dog.
I know, the poor dog.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it interesting? And you just allowed, you just opened to receive. And, you know, getting information and sharing information with animals and this whole interconnectedness and communication thing is far more simple, you know, than people realize. It's natural. We're all hardwired to connect that way. And so I tell people, you know, you don't have to study with a guru for 10 years. You don't have to spend enormous amounts of money taking courses. Just, you know, it's very simple techniques. I have very simple ones in my book.
Yes.
You know, it's a natural thing to do, to connect with other beings.
But what's interesting is that the connection, telepathic connection, is through meaning, not through words. And so
yes,
you talk about how to communicate with your pets much more through projecting meanings and feelings,
yes,
rather than trying,
yes,
to project words.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because my communications with animals since I was a young child rarely involved words, rarely. And only, actually when I was in South Africa and got a very clear message from the buffalo, it was so clear, it was like knocking me in the head. You know, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. You know, I got the wording. In other words, they're our words. We assign the words. Animals aren't speaking English or other languages. They're not reading books. The meaning is what comes across. We assign the words and the meaning. But only, you know, in the last, I'd say, 8 years have I bothered to even assign words. They haven't been necessary.
Right. And that's something that we should all appreciate. If we want to communicate with animals, we can project pictures to them.
Yes.
And actions, you know,
yes,
movies.
And feelings. And feelings.
Yes.
That is, I would say, number one on the list, because think of your fear, your feelings of fear. They're
right,
immediately and very successfully communicated. But when we share our emotions, it's so powerful and so strong to animals.
Well, they don't have words in their minds that get in their way. So
yes,
they're much more aware and sensitive to their environment and the expression of their environment, including feelings. So
yes,
they can tune into things that we wonder about. That's why when that big tsunami was in the Pacific, the animals had already run to high ground. And
that's
the people,
right,
didn't know any better, because we're in our heads. And they're
right
in that sensitive awareness to nature and to,
yes,
you know, behavior.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, and so we can learn so much from them. It's endless. So how many different species can you have in your house to learn from at one time?
Well, you know, I say go outside in nature. You know,
you have to find them in nature. If you have them in the house, it's easy to watch.
but
it depends on where you live, too.
True, exactly. But you know, you can even. I just came back from New York City, and I always manage to hang out with the pigeons, and they have a lot to say. This New York City pigeons are quite amazing and easy to, you know, learn from.
Great. Most of us in New York don't think that way about the pigeons.
Yeah, I'm very aware of the pigeons. And if you become aware of them, too, they understand and they know. So it's making ourselves metaphysically charming, and it comes, number one, through an emotional bond, an emotional attachment. And in my chapter two in the book, when I talk about the unexplained stories and powers of animals, this is what we find. The data all shows, yes, animals have these amazing psychic intuitive experiences beyond what we can even explain in many cases, but what really, really is the glue is the emotional bond, love.
Right. So we should all think that way now around animals and see how we can experience them with us and maybe communicate with them in ways that we haven't been able to before.
Mm.
That's wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Listen deeply.
Yes, yes. Linda Bender. And your book is Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. What a treat it is to read the book. And there's so much in here that really tunes you in. And not only to animals, but just understanding ourselves in relationship to them and how they can help us so much.
Thank you. And yeah, there's a lot on my website. If people go to lindabender.org, it's got all the mischief I'm up to. All my everything that's going on with me is on lindabender.org, and you can also click onto my Facebook directly from there.
Sounds
and
wonderful.
Twitter.
Great. You've been a terrific guest. I really love talking with you, and thanks so much for writing your
book,
Animal Wisdom. Right. All the best. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.